Nearly Departed in Deadwood by Anne Charles. Chapter 1. Deadwood, South Dakota, Monday, July 9th. The first time I came to Deadwood, I got shot in the ass. Now, 25 years later, as I stared into the double barrels of Old Man Harvey's shotgun, irony was having a fiesta, and I was the piñata. I tried to produce a polite smile, but my cheeks had petrified along with my heart. "You wouldn't shoot a girl, would you?" Old Man Harvey snorted, his whole face contorting with the effort.
"Lady, I'd blow the damned Easter bunny's head off if he was trying to take what's mine."
He cocked his shotgun, his version of an exclamation mark. "Whoa!" I would have gulped had there been any spit left in my mouth. "I'm not here to take anything," he replied by aiming those two barrels at my chest instead of my face. "I'm with Calamity Jane Realty, I swear. I came to..." With Harvey threatening to fill my lungs with peepholes, I had trouble remembering why I'd driven out to this corner of the boonies. Oh yeah. Lowering one of my hands, I held out my crushed business card. "I want to help you sell your ranch." The double barrels clinked against one of the buttons on my Rebecca Taylor knockoff jacket as Harvey grabbed my card. I swallowed a squawk of panic and willed the soles of my boots to unglue from the floorboards of Harvey's front porch and retreat. Unfortunately, my brain's direct line to my feet was experiencing technical difficulties. Harvey's squint relaxed.
"Violet Parker, eh?"
"That's me." My voice sounded pipsqueaky in my own ears. I couldn't help it. Guns made my thighs wobbly and my bladder heavy. Had I not made a pit stop at Gertie's Grill for a buffalo burger and paid a visit to the little hen's room, I'd have a puddle in the bottom of my favorite cowboy boots by now.
"Your boots match your name. What's a broker associate?"
"It's someone who's going to lose her job if she doesn't sell a house in the next 3 weeks." I lowered my other hand. I'd been with Calamity Jane Realty for a little over 2 months and had yet to make a single sale. So much for my radical, life-changing leap into a new career. If I didn't make a sale before my probation was up, I'd have to drag my kids back down to the prairie and bunk with my parents again.
"You're a lot purtier in this here picture with your hair down."
"So I've been told." Old Man Harvey seemed to be channeling my 9-year-old daughter today. Lucky me.
"Makes you look younger, like a fine heifer."
I cocked my head to the side, unsure if I'd just been tossed a compliment or slapped with an insult. The shotgun dipped to my belly button as he held the card out for me to take back. "Keep it. I have plenty." A whole box full. They helped fill the lone drawer in my desk back at Calamity Jane's.
"So that asshole from the bank didn't send you?"
"No. An asshole from my office had, and the bastard would be extracting his balls from his esophagus for this so-called generous referral, if I made it back to Calamity Jane's without looking like a human sieve."
"Then how do you know about my gambling problem?"
"What gambling problem?" Old Man Harvey's eyes narrowed again. He whipped the double barrels back up to my kisser.
"The only way you'd know I'm thinking about selling is if you heard about my gambling debt."
"Oh, you mean that gambling problem?"
"What'd you think I meant?"
Bluffing was a lot easier when I wasn't chatting up a shotgun. "I thought you were referring to the, A tidbit of a phone conversation I'd overheard earlier this morning came to mind. "To the problem you had at the Prairie Dog Palace." Harvey's jaw jutted.
"Mud wrestling has no age limit."
"You're right. They need to be less age-biased. Maybe even have an AARP night every Wednesday."
Nobody told me about the bikini bit till it was too late.
I winced. I couldn't help it.
So, what are you going to charge me to sell my place?
What would you like me to charge you? I was all about pleasing the customer this afternoon. He leaned the gun on his shoulder, double barrels pointed at the porch ceiling.
The usual, I guess.
No longer on the verge of extinction, I used the porch rail to keep from keeling over. Maybe I just wasn't cut out for the realty business. Did they still sell encyclopedias door to door?
This ranch belonged to my pappy, and his pappy before him.
Harvey's lips thinned as he stared over my shoulder. It must hold a big place in your heart. I tried to sound sincere as I inched along the railing toward the steps. My red Bronco glinted and beckoned under the July sun.
Hell no. I can't wait to shuck this shithole.
What? I'd made it as far as the first step.
I'm sick and tired of fixing rusted fences, chasing four-wheeling fools through my pastures, sniffing out lost cows in every damned gulch and gully.
His blue eyes snapped back to mine.
And I keep hearing funny noises at night, coming from out behind my old barn.
I followed the nudge of his bearded chin. Weathered and whitewashed by Mother Nature, the sprawling building's roof seemed to sag in the afternoon heat. The doors were chained shut, one of the haymow windows broken. Funny how?
Like, grab your shotgun, funny.
Normally, this might give me pause, but after the greeting I'd received today from the old codger's double barrels, I had a feeling that Harvey wore his shotgun around the house like a pair of holy underwear. I'd bet my measly savings he even slept with it. Maybe it's just a mountain lion, I suggested. The paper said there's been a surge of sightings lately.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Harvey shrugged.
I don't care. I want to move to town. It gets awful lonely out here come wintertime. Start thinking about things that just ain't right. I almost married a girl from Taiwan last January. Turned out, she was really a he from Nigeria.
Wow.
Damned internet.
Harvey's gaze washed over me.
What about you, Violet Parker?
What about me?
There's no ring on your finger. You got a boyfriend?
No. I didn't want one, either. Men had a history of fouling up my life, from burning down my house to leaving me knocked up with twins. These days, I liked my relationships how I liked my eggs. Over easy. Harvey's two gold teeth twinkled at me through his whiskers.
Then how about a drink? Scotch or gin?
I chewed on my lip. Considering my options, I could climb into my Bronco and watch this opportunity and the crazy old bastard with a trigger-happy finger disappear in my rearview mirror, or I could blow off common sense and follow Harvey in for some hard liquor and maybe a signed contract. Like I really had a choice. Do you have any tonic? Chapter 2. Later that afternoon, I whipped into the parking lot behind Calamity Jane Realty and found a late-60s black Camaro SS with white rally stripes hogging my parking spot. I glared at it long and hard, telepathically leveling plague-laden curses at the nitwit who'd ignored the private parking sign. Years ago, around the time my butt wound up peppered with BBs, thanks to my best friend's little brother, Deadwood had been a quiet town, struggling to survive on its golden past. Historic buildings lined Main Street, and parking spaces were abundant. Then came the gambling. As thousands of new tourists and millions of new dollars poured in, casino after casino crowded the main drag with bright window signs promising big bonanzas. The only thing abundant these days were slot machines, and finding an empty parking spot on a hot summer day was tougher than lining up triple red sevens for the progressive jackpot. Swearing, I cruised through one parking lot after another, finally sliding into a too-tight spot 3 blocks from the office. The meter ate every bit of spare change from my ashtray. By the time I yanked open Calamity Jane's front door, I'd chucked my jacket and sweat beaded my upper lip. A whoosh of cool air, sprinkled with a hint of jasmine, swirled around me as I stomped to my desk and flung my jacket on it. Mona, my co-worker, newfound friend, and mentor, all wrapped in one stunning flame-haired package, placed a post-it on my phone. Another stronger whiff of jasmine hit me. "You okay, Vi?" "No," I glared around the office. "Where's Ray? Should I poke the jerk in the eye or bust his kneecap for sending me out to Harvey's without mentioning the old man's ardor for his gun?" "He's showing the place on Dakota Street to that cute young couple who were in here the other day." "You mean the Rupps?" I flopped into my chair and snarled at Ray's empty seat. Mona smiled. "They're so sweet. The way they're constantly giving each other those googly-eyed stares." Pushing 50, Mona had yet to land her happily ever after. Her rose-colored glasses rarely left her face. For her true love might be the next man she met, or the one after. "They came in looking for you, but Ray couldn't reach you on your cell." "That's because I was out in the sticks playing spin the bottle with a loony old kook." "So he took them out himself." "Wait a second." I sat up straight, suddenly realizing what she was saying. "Those were my clients."
"The house is a real fixer-upper. I doubt they'll be interested."
For Ray's sake, I hoped she was right. I picked up the post-it and stared at Mona's writing. What did Lane want?
"He said something about finding a skeleton in the backyard and needing you to pick up a jar of worms on your way home."
Some days, my son made electroshock therapy sound appealing. I reached for the phone. Ray Underhill burst through the front door, his face furrowed, his fake tan 2 shades redder than usual. "Who in the hell let them put this shit in our front window again?" He ripped free a piece of paper taped to the plate glass and held it out. "Missing 9-year-old girl," it read in bold letters. A slightly fuzzy black-and-white picture of a blonde with a smile too big for her face took up the bulk of the page. A local phone number and $10,000 reward filled the footer. It took me a breath and a blink to realize this wasn't the same missing poster I'd seen stapled to poles and stuck in storefront windows for the last few months. This was new. A different girl, a different amount, but the same story. Mona crossed her arms.
"I taped it in the window."
"What were you thinking?" Ray wadded up the sign and tossed it in the trash on his way to the coffee maker. "We're trying to convince retirees and families that Deadwood is a safe place to live. Pictures of missing girls don't exactly encourage these suckers to cough up a down payment."
I dropped the receiver back in its cradle and scooped the wadded up sign from Ray's garbage.
"When did this happen?" I asked, my chest tight. My blonde 9-year-old daughter spurring my sudden dizzying spell of anxiety. "Vi, are you okay?" Mona asked through a tin can on the other end of a string. At least, that's what it sounded like as my vision tunneled. I felt a warm hand on my shoulder.
"Honey, sit down."
I dropped into a chair that somehow ended up behind my knees. My hand trembled slightly as I held up the picture.
"When?" 2 days ago.
"What's with her?" Ray said as he passed behind me. "It's not her kid."
I took a deep breath, something I found myself doing often these days when Ray was within a 5-mile radius. If there was an award for the world's biggest horse's ass,
Ray's desk would be littered with grand prize trophies.
You okay, Vi?
Mona asked, her hand squeezing. I nodded and flashed her a smile. It weighed heavy on my lips. Ray was right, it wasn't my kid. It was, however, a second child gone missing. In a town as small as Deadwood, one girl was a worry. Two was an epidemic.
From here on out,
Ray's chair griped with a squeal as he dropped into it.
Only MLS listings go in our window.
I stuffed the missing sign in my purse and tried to push my apprehension aside for now. I still had to sell a house.
The boss approved, so get over it, Mona said.
A blaze of curses fired from Ray's mouth. Mona examined her manicured nails, her feathers apparently ruffle-free. She once informed me that after working with the blockhead for over a decade, she'd developed a callous exterior when it came to Ray's bullshit. That didn't stop her from dumping an extra helping of Benefiber in his daily glass of orange juice every now and then, as I'd witnessed several times.
I take it the Rupps weren't interested, sunshine.
Mona also liked to give Ray cute nicknames just to needle him.
You're wrong. They're gonna sign an offer letter.
What?
I was out of my seat and in his face before I realized it.
They were my clients.
Ray patted me on the head. The smell of his sweat under his plaster of Stetson cologne made my stomach churn.
You snooze, you lose, Blondie.
Ray used nicknames, too, his purpose a bit darker.
I wasn't snoozing. I was facing off with a shotgun.
So Harvey was feeling feisty today. I warned you.
You said to use honey instead of vinegar, not wear a Kevlar vest and carry a concealed weapon.
Some customers are tougher than others. You're gonna have to buck up, little girl, if you want to make it in the realty business in this town.
His chair creaked again as he kicked back, his hand-tooled Tony Lama boots acting as paperweights.
Leave old man Harvey to me.
You stay away from Harvey. He's my client. You got him to sign a contract?
Mona sounded surprised. I plucked the contract from my tote and held it up. Ray snorted.
There's no signature on that, sweetheart.
There will be after tonight.
What's tonight? Mona asked. My cheeks heated. I mumbled my answer as I stuffed the contract back into my tote. Mona leaned forward.
You're doing what with Harvey?
Going out to dinner.
Ray's laughter rumbled throughout the room.
Oh, Vi, do you think that's a good idea?
I wasn't used to seeing Mona frown. It's just dinner, that's all. He's a lonely guy.
I'm a lonely guy too, Blondie. Stop by my place after dinner, and I'll give you a lesson on finishing the deal. Wear something tight and low-cut.
I'd sooner drink Drano. I'll pass.
Your loss.
Ray nodded at the calendar hanging on the wall.
With your time just about up, I guess I should call my nephew and tell him to have his interview suit dry cleaned.
Ray had made it no secret that he'd been ticked Jane hired me back in May for the newly created associate position instead of waiting another month for his nephew to finish realty school. As Deadwood's reigning king of schmooze, Ray wasn't used to rejection, but no amount of dining or whining had convinced Jane to take on a fourth employee. I lifted my chin. I'm not out of the game yet. I had a Hail Mary play left in me still, I was sure of it. With his trademark smirk in place, Ray sat forward as if he had a secret to share.
Harvey isn't gonna sign any contracts, sweetheart. He's just dangling a carrot, hoping to get some young tail.
Did he tell you that he got kicked out of the Prairie Dog Palace Casino last week for wagging his Johnson at a busload of pretty old maids from Canada?
That wasn't true. Well, not exactly, according to Harvey. Besides, it didn't matter if it was. I needed a sale, even if it cost me a little dignity and a lot of antacids.
Sunshine, Mona said. Your asshole meter is redlining.
Ray waved off Mona.
Face it, Blondie, you're like Wild Bill and Potato Creek Johnny around these parts. History.
I picked up my stapler with every intention of imprinting swing line on Ray's forehead via blunt force trauma. The front door whisked open, and a tall, sandy-haired Don Juan zeroed in on me with a white-toothed grin that saved me from a potential assault charge. Hello, Miss Parker? I lowered the stapler, a little starry-eyed by Don Juan's dazzling features. Have we met before? I was sure I'd have remembered him. He held out a postcard I recognized by sight. A month ago, I'd had the harebrained idea of making up postcards using a family picture to help round up some business. The whole, look at me, I'm just a friendly mom who wants to help you sell your house and make all of your dreams come true, kind of card. It had drained my dwindling savings account of several hundred precious dollars. Ah, you got my postcard. How can I help you? Please say you want to sell something.
I want to sell my house.
Yes! I offered Don Juan the seat across from me and grabbed paper and pen. Let's start with your name.
Wolfgang Hessler.
Hessler? Spelled the same as the jewelry store in town?
Exactly. That's my store.
Oh, that's a nice store. That was like saying the Hope Diamond was a pretty stone. Hessler's Jewelry Designs was one of the two primo jewelry stores on Main Street. Heck, in western South Dakota. There were none of the usual Black Hills Gold, grape leaf pieces in his store window, only original designs that took my breath away. Not that I could afford even a single earring from his shop, let alone two. But I often drooled in his store's window while scarfing down chocolate from the candy corral, located a few doors down.
You're Wilma Hessler's kid?
Ray rolled his chair over and joined the conversation, in spite of my eat-shit-and-die glare.
Wilma was my mother, yes.
Wolfgang's articulate use of the English language seemed out of place.
I thought you moved to San Francisco.
Ray knew everything about everyone in town. That's probably what had made him the top salesman every month for the past 5 years, and possibly the only reason that Jane put up with his chauvinistic ass.
I did.
Are you going to sell the jewelry store, too?
Ray asked. If I'd had a Kleenex, I'd have given it to Ray to wipe the drool from his chin.
No, my mother would roll over in her grave if I did that. It's been in the family for generations.
His cobalt eyes locked onto mine.
I'm just here to sell my mother's house.
If I smiled any wider, my forehead would cave in. Here it was, finally. My big, gorgeous fish. What's the address? I tried to keep the giggles of glee out of my voice.
55 Van Buren Street.
That was near the old Adams House / museum in the historic presidential neighborhood, just a short hop from downtown Deadwood. I glanced at Ray and could have danced the Charleston at the sight of his clenched teeth. When would be a good time for me to come over and take a look around the place?
I was available now, yesterday, and the day before.
Are you free right now?
The phone on my desk rang, interrupting my shout of, Yes! I looked at the number of who was calling and recognized it. I'll let that go to voicemail.
Wolfgang smiled. I smiled back. Hell, the whole world was smiling at that moment. We should all have joined hands.
Let me just check my calendar to make sure I don't have any other appointments this afternoon.
A muffled guffaw came from Ray's direction. Mona cleared her throat.
The phone stopped mid-ring as I dug through my tote for my daytimer. Here we are. I flipped open to July, happy I'd taken the time yesterday in between twiddling my fingers and twirling my hair to add a few fake appointments to my book, just to cheer myself up. Mona's phone started ringing. She picked it up on the second ring. I ran my finger down the page. I'm taking a client to dinner this evening, but other than that, my schedule is open. Wolfgang stood.
Perfect. You can follow me.
Excuse me, Vi?
I looked at Mona.
I have a call for you.
She mouthed my son's name.
Damn it, Lane.
Can you take a message for me?
He sounds like this is kind of important.
If this was about those stupid worms... I turned to Wolfgang. Could you hold on for just a second, please? He nodded. I walked to Mona's desk and took the receiver from her. I'm a little busy. Can I call you back in a bit?
No!
Lane yelled. I'm pretty sure they heard him over in Montana.
You have to come home right now. It's an emergency.
Lane, calm down.
Now, Mom, hurry.
Where is... The line clicked, and then silence. My heart thudded hard against my ribs.
What's wrong, Vi? Is he okay?
I don't know. Lane had a history of crying wolf. His so-called emergencies often turned out to be minor predicaments fixed by applying or removing superglue. But if I didn't go and something really was wrong, well, that was the catch-22, wasn't it? I need to go home. Then I remembered my big fish.
Ah, Mr. Hessler.
You want to reschedule?
I'm so sorry.
Don't worry about it.
He reached in his back pocket.
I could go with you, Mr. Hessler,
Ray volunteered, standing.
If you'd prefer to get moving on this today. That's okay. I'll be in town for a few more days.
He handed me a business card.
Call me. I'll be at the store tomorrow morning.
With a nod goodbye, he left. I grabbed my jacket and purse. Mona, I'll call you later. Ray, you're a dickhead. I hope you choke on a cheeseburger. My boot heels clomping, I rushed out the front door. My eyes were on my cell as I dialed home again. I cut the corner and tripped over a box full of books. The cell phone flew from my hands. I landed on my palms and knees, which saved my nose from catching a sidewalk rash.
Ow!
I sat up, the smell of sun-baked pavement all around me. My knee burned. Then I noticed the big hole in my green slacks. Crud.
Shit. I shouldn't have left that box there,
a deep voice said from over my head.
Are you okay?
I looked up from my scraped knee into a chiseled face with dark brown eyes and a cleft chin. No, these are my favorite pants.
I'll buy you another pair.
You can't. They're a couple of years old. Mr. Brown Eyes held out his hand to help me up.
How can I make it up to you?
I accepted with a grunt, wincing as his hand found the sidewalk burn on my palm. Don't worry about it.
Here's your phone, he said, and held out both pieces. Are you bleeding?
I'm fine. I brushed my hands off on my ruined pants, took the phone, and popped the battery back on. A scratch appeared to be the only visible damage. That made two of us.
Does it still work?
I powered it up. I nodded, stuffing it in my pocket, and then glanced down at the box that had sent me sprawling. One of the books on top had a 2-inch-thick spine. I lifted it up. The Life and Times of James Butler Hickok, I read under my breath. A glance at the other books revealed more prose about Wild Bill. You're not from here, are you? I asked.
What makes you say that?
Because anyone raised in the Black Hills general area had enough Wild Bill history crammed down their throat in elementary school to last a lifetime.
Maybe I'm just a big fan of history.
He took the book from me and dropped it back in the box. $10 said that dinner conversation with this guy would require toothpicks to prop my eyelids open. I hoisted my purse on my shoulder and peeked in the office window that shared a wall with Calamity Jane Realty. Boxes, a ladder, and 2 paint cans sat next to a lone desk. You must be our new neighbor, I said, noting the keys in his hand. I work next door.
You're a realtor?
Taped to the outside of his plate glass window was the same missing girl sign about which Ray had thrown a fit. One corner was loose, slightly crinkled. I flattened it against the glass.
I don't think she's just lost in the woods,
my new neighbor said. Something in the tone of his voice made me look up at him. He stared at the girl's picture with an intensity that made me shiver. I hoped he was wrong. The urge to swaddle my own kids in bubble wrap reminded me that I had a so-called emergency at home. I gotta go. Brown Eyes grabbed my jacket from the ground and handed it to me.
Let me give you some cash for the pants.
Tempting, but I wasn't that desperate.
Yet.
Thanks, but no. I'll see you around.
What's your name?
He called after me.
Violet,
I yelled without turning around. I limped as fast as I could the three blocks to my Bronco, replaying Lane's call in my head. He had better not have burned his eyebrows off again with another exploded chemistry experiment. Super glue wouldn't fix eyebrows.